We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We do have four lines all jammed up, like I promised. Thank you guys for joining us on this very... rainy Saturday morning here in Connecticut. And we'll do our best to get to all your calls because you were nice enough to do that. So let's get right to your calls and start working here. We're going to go right to Len in Meriden first. Hey, Len.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling about a situation with the copy and paste. It's not working. I can copy it, but I can't paste it where I want to, where it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I can put it in the subject, but that's not the proper place and it doesn't work. So I was wondering if you could post something on your system so I could...
When you say copy and paste, Len, when you said the subject, are you pasting within a Word document?
Anything that I'm interested in on the internet, and I want to copy it and paste it or send it to somebody.
In an email?
Yeah, on an email, you're right.
Okay, in an email. So you're not doing copy and paste in files, you're copy and pasting within an email.
Yeah, right.
What's your email system that you're using?
Cox.
Okay, so it's a browser-based email system?
Uh-huh.
So you're actually logged in through a browser, and you're on a tab on the internet. You're then copying the information, and then it's not pasting as far as the URL within the email, that link.
Right. It lets me paste it in the subject space, but that's not the proper place. It doesn't work there.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Can you type it?
I haven't tried that, no.
If it's not too long of a URL, can you type in the www. Link for your recipient? You shouldn't have to, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that. I haven't tried that.
Well, it's just a matter of type. The link you're trying to capture is you can just type it out. It's just an option to see if it'll work. Why do you think, Bob, that would happen? Why do you think that link copy won't go for him?
It could be something to do with his mouse.
Yeah. Really?
With the mouse?
Right. So if you click on the space where you want to paste it to and hit try the old-fashioned way, hit Control-V to paste it and see if that works.
Hit Control-V?
Yeah, that's a good idea. See if it is the mouse.
All right. Well, I'll give it a try.
Also, you may want to look at configuring it in a different type of... Your email setting could be set up incorrectly. You want to choose the plain text versus HTML or vice versa to see if you've changed your email configuration within your browser. So Cox supports, pasting, not working. It seems to be an important feature. This is a month ago, so I'm trying to find out to see if I can find an actual answer for you here real quickly, Lynn, but it does seem to be the format. What browser are you using, by the way?
Can't even think of it.
Is it the Beach Ball? Is it the Little Fox Around the World?
Firefox.
Firefox. Okay, so you're using Firefox. Turns out there is some understanding that Cox has and this is Cox, you said, right? Yeah.
Right.
Cox has some. They're saying they have an issue, from what I can see here. I can try posting this string for you from Cox's site.
Okay.
Because it's fairly current, but it's been happening for about a month. Does that ring a bell for you too?
About a month or so, yeah, a month and a half, whatever.
Yep. Okay. So you're definitely not alone. I can put a link up here for the back and forth on the forum that Cox is that people are complaining about this issue with Cox. The alternative, of course, is to try a different browser to see if it works in a different browser. Try the little Beach Ball Chrome.
Okay.
You can try IE to see if it works differently, Internet Explorer.
Okay.
It could be a security feature. A lot of people are getting phished with links within email, and it's better and better if we stop some of this linkage happening within email, so people are less apt to be impacted. Maybe it's a security feature that that Cox is trying to implement. I have no idea.
See, I guess I could call up Cox themselves and talk to them about it.
You could. Yeah,
yeah, I haven't done that, but I should.
Yeah, give them a ring. But I'll put this link up here for you. You can see other folks are having this exact problem.
Okay. Another thing is I've been getting a lot of spam within the last month and a half or so.
Sure.
I had signed up for a new credit card, but I don't think it was that because when I called the company, they said it wouldn't be them.
Right.
And I had to order some parts on the internet, stuff like that, but I don't know. It all started about a month and a half ago, too.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't think that's related to anything other than the internet in general. You can go onto Cox's configurations, and they do offer a way to improve your spam settings. You would increase your resistance to spam by logging into your account and going to their spam configurations and changing that. Just you want to ratchet that up a bit and increase the security on that. That's something you can do by logging in, Bob.
Yeah, on this article I got Mozilla support, about two-thirds of the way down, it says to open up Firefox in safe mode and see if it still does it. And if it does, if it works in safe mode, then it says it's probably being caused by an extension.
Within Firefox. All right, there's another option for you, Len. So there's a couple things here you can try. Try the beach ball. Try Chrome to see if it works within Chrome.
All right. Okay, guys.
All right, Len.
Thanks very much.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's move on to Joe in Berlin next. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Yeah, I got my system when it goes to sleep. Then when I come back and work on the computer, the Wi-Fi internet connection takes a while to open back up.
Exactly. That's correct.
And I don't know what's going on there.
It's just waking up slowly.
Okay. It takes maybe a minute or two to reconnect.
Yeah, that's just your hardware. It's doing, it's waking up from the sleep mode and it's turning on the components in whatever order it wants to. And then obviously your Wi-Fi card is the last to do it. So Bob would tell you to never turn the Wi-Fi card off as far as sleep mode goes. You could probably set that within your advanced configurations within power settings, correct, Bob?
Yeah. Or I would say
don't go to sleep.
No, just get a laptop and with a SSD card. Everything comes up faster.
Well, there's that, yeah. But it's just your card coming up late. It does eventually wake up, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you go to your advanced settings, I think you should be able to tell the system to never turn off your Wi-Fi card in the sleep mode. Or don't use sleep mode, just shut it off and then turn it back on again and everything will come up in its normal speed. But we can't have a way to speed it up other than telling it never to go to sleep, which you should be able to do within your advanced configurations and your power settings. So you want to go to your network cards in the advanced power settings and tell the card to not go to sleep. The same way Bob talked about not turning off the hard drive. For the earlier caller, if you were listening.
Yeah. And then the other thing, last week someone was running out of memory.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same problem. And I found someplace in Windows, when I try to clean the system up, they made a copy of everything, and they were fairly large files. And
like recovery?
Way back. Yeah. And I deleted those, and I gained a lot of memory.
Yeah, they're recovery files.
I don't think it was memory. It's probably storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got storage. You get more hard drive space back.
Right,
Joe?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be recovery files that you just cleared up.
Yeah. That's all I had.
All right, Joe.
Thanks very much.
You got it, sir.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's keep moving on. We're going to go to Stan in Hanover. Is there a Hanover, Connecticut?
Hanover, Connecticut.
Huh, all right.
We're a little town off in town of Springs, a little village.
Gotcha, very cool. Well, nice. Okay. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I cut my cable yesterday.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, I went from $292.
A car payment.
A month down to, I think I screwed up because I'm down to $142. I screwed up on the speed of my...
Your internet?
Yeah, my internet.
Well, what do you got for speed?
About 250.
That's an awful lot of speed, Stan.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I should have got rid of it yesterday. I didn't think about it.
Yes.
I got rid of all this other stuff.
You were paying almost $300 a month, and now you still are left, though, with an internet connection of 250 megabits. How many people are in your house?
Me and my wife.
That's insanity. So, you know, that's like having a 16-inch water main right up to your home, and the two of you guys are brushing your teeth.
Okay.
That's all you need. You don't need that. You need to drop that back down to 50 megabit stand for the two of you, and you'll be happy as anybody.
Will that affect streaming?
Yeah, well, no, it won't affect the two of you. I've got three boys in my house. I walk in, they're all off from vacation. They're back from UConn, right? They're sitting in the house. You know what I watch when I come? They watch all day? They stream Chuck all day.
Oh, jeez.
They literally stream Chuck all day. They're playing video games, streaming Chuck all day. And we have a 65 megabit connection from Cox. No problem. The only problem is worrying about overusage, because the boys at Cox want to whack me now because they're going to be using more than a terabyte of data. So it's not how big your pipe is to your house. You don't need a 16-inch water main. It's how much water you consume. So
it's just me and a wife. So we're not
you're not going to consume anything. So 50 megabits is going to be plenty for the two of you. We have 65. It's plenty for five people in our home. No problems.
I have 25.
And Bob has 25 for two folks in the house. So you're probably paying an awful lot for a massive bandwidth that you don't need.
Okay. When I configured my DS, my wireless.
Yeah.
I went into OpenDS DNS.
Yes, sir.
Now, I put it on, I'm not sure how I put it on, because I think I put it on there, the firewall on my computer and not the firewall on my router. I have a router in between the gateway I got from Comcast.
Right,
and
perfect.
My computer.
You want to put it on the firewall that you purchased yourself.
Okay, you want me to put, I should put it on the router.
Yes.
My personal router.
Yes, sir. And that's where your DHCP settings are. You're handing out IP addresses to the devices in your network. You want to add OpenDNS to being the DNS addresses that are handed out.
Okay, because I've been having all kinds of conflicts and stuff.
Yeah. Your firewall on your PC is not really nothing. You don't need anything to do there.
Okay.
Or you can just configure it within each computer if you want to, but I would put it on your firewall.
I only got one computer and a couple of tablets.
Yeah, so do it on your firewall, Stan. We have instructions there for you, and congratulations on reducing your cable bill from a car payment.
I'm going to reduce it some more. Now
you guys
told me I don't need that big.
Yeah, no, not even close, Stan. You need 50 megabits, and you'll be more than happy.
I'll get on a fight with Comcast and get it down to 50.
Oh, yeah, and they better give you a good deal because you don't need that pipe.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it, Stan. Bye-bye. I'm going to give you a quick story, if I can, Mike. I just met a customer yesterday who has got the same exact pipe as Stan did, 250 megabits, and they're evaluating IT firms, and we were one of them. And the firm prior to us came in and noticed that they were only getting 183 megabits on their 250 megabit system. Now, generally, you could consider that a problem. However, there's only 10 people in their organization. Again, they have a 16-inch water main, and you only need to turn on the faucet occasionally, flush the toilet every now and again. They don't need a 250 megabit pipe. But this other company wanted to sell them new technology to take advantage of their 250 megabit pipe. Not necessary. Our approach would be to reduce it to 100 megabits for 10 people, plenty, save probably $100 a month, and not to pay for anything else. It really comes down to just because you have a big pipe, that's not the issue. How much data must you move through your pipe, right? That's really the question. And 250 megabit pipe is like a 16-inch water main versus all you need is a 2-inch copper pipe to do everything in your home, right? Even a 1-inch pipe. You got to understand that about the internet because they'll oversell you every time. We'll be right back.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
That's Bob's pick for a bumper for music for us. A little heavy, but we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Port Jefferson, Long Island, and Dennis. What's going on, Dennis?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thanks for listening.
I'm looking for a simple answer to a simple problem.
All right.
Over-the-air TV reception.
Yes.
Is that dwindling away?
No. You can still do over-the-air HD. That's really the best way to get an HD signal.
Yeah, the HD over-the-air is actually far better than HD over the cable. I got news for you.
Yeah. So you can still do that. You can buy an HD antenna. There's some good ones out there. And you got to cover it in tinfoil like rabbit. No, I'm just kidding. But get the HD antenna, and you'll be able to get a ton of great stations. You're down there in Long Island. Right. So you should be able to get some good stations.
Yeah, you just got to make sure that you're not blocked by, like, buildings.
Right.
Or I don't know where you live down there, but, you know. And then you might need to change the angle because you want to point it at the antennas that you want to receive. So by pointing it in different directions, you might pick up different channels.
There's ones that you'd buy for in within your home, and there's ones that you could buy that you would attach to your home in the old days. And then you would add something like Sling TV for those stations that are not going to come over the over the air. You could then get Sling TV and purchase the channels you want rather than having to pay for a whole package of bundled stuff you don't want. And just pay for an internet connection. You've got your over-the-air channels. You got your Sling TV. Then you buy maybe a Netflix package or a Amazon Prime package for your movies. You're done, you know. And you're paying, you know, $60 a month versus $250 for seven ESPN stations you don't watch.
Well, the question I'm asking is, I used to get all these channels before, but the standard channels, of course, 2,
yeah.
4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13.
Yeah.
Now I'm just down to a PBS channel called 21 on Long Island,
yeah,
and a channel called 55. All the other stations are all gone now.
No, they shouldn't
maybe
be.
That new antenna they put down in Lower Manhattan that was going to transmit all kinds of new signals and even mm-hmm. TV signals. I thought that was going to be very powerful.
Well, what kind of TV do you have, Dennis? Is it a digital TV or is it an old?
It's an HD TV, yeah.
Most like, what was your antenna? What kind of?
I got an antenna up on the roof. It's the.
That's the old style, right?
It's the old style, right?
But that's the issue.
I got the cable connection to it, though.
Okay. You should talk to an expert in your area about HDTV antennas. They should be able to modify that antenna so that it picks up the HD signal. Most likely there's something you're missing.
And if you got it up up nice and high,
yeah,
and it's on a pole or something,
it's on the roof,
you want to invest, if you can, in a antenna rotor.
Mm.
So then you can mark on the rotor what direction specific channels come in.
Yeah.
Because then you'll find that you can get all sorts of channels depending on the direction that you point.
Yeah, you probably have to do something to update your antenna in some way. But Dennis, but they're not gone. You should be able to get tons of HD channels still.
Really?
Oh yeah.
The best over-the-air antenna is a WineGuard, but it's pretty huge. But you add that with a antenna rotor, and you can reach out over 100 to 150 miles.
Well, I see. I could buy what they call a Channel Master amplifier.
There you go.
Channel Master is a great.
You think that would be advisable to?
It would be something you should look at, but Dennis, I think you should talk to an expert within your area there that can come out to your home and set it up for you.
That would be the smartest.
We don't do it. I don't do it. I wouldn't do it myself. I'd end up falling off the roof.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening out there in Long Island. We're going to go on to Ted in Middletown. Hey, Ted.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
We can hear you.
Okay. Hey, I'm getting ready to cut the cord for real. I've been on streaming for a couple of months.
Yep.
And we'll be honest with you, I don't know what I have for internet.
Okay.
In terms of megabytes, but to run 3 or 4 TVs and a couple of mobile devices, what do I need?
Again, we 25 megabits to 50 megabits if it's only a few people in your home. It really comes down to how many people are going to be consuming, not how many devices you have.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Okay, so if you had 2 TVs and people on 2 phones or tablets.
No problemo with 50 megabits. 65 megabits. I have 65 at home with 5 kids literally streaming Chuck all day.
Okay.
And Bob's got 25 megabits with 2 folks.
No problem.
So you don't need that much bandwidth.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I know it sounds counterintuitive, but that's how they market it.
Oh yeah. No, I'm getting ready, fired up for them.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, Ted. Bye. Yeah. The thing about internet, it's not how big your pipe is. You're not compensating for nothing. Don't go to tell anybody at your party you got a big pipe. It's how much data you bring down the pipe that matters. And more, it's going to be nice and effective with 50 to 65 megabits. What you're going to start worrying about is how much they charge you per megabyte, because that's where it's going, which is fine. That's their prerogative. But there's all sorts of third parties coming in to compete with the incumbent internet providers like your cable company and Frontier. GoNet something. It's a fiber service coming in.
Yeah, we want to keep them off the poles.
Yeah, they're going to be coming in and offering some great services for a lot of low cost. So let's look forward to that. We'll be right back. are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. You gotta love that intro. The only band, the only rock band you'll ever hear using a triangle. I'm pretty sure that's true. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Four lines wide open. You guys, you're all there, and you all went away. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we wait for your calls, you guys might get hit with this phishing scheme, phishing with a P, P-H. You're going to see emails coming to you from someone who's going to say they know you're watching porn and they watched you watch it, and then they want to have you pay them to not tell your friends and family that they watched you watching it.
My wife got one of those yesterday.
Yep, and it's a pretty popular way to trick people. So they're sending emails out, and the thing that they try to make it more real for you is that they're using hacked sites that were hacked many years ago, like LinkedIn or whatever, that have been hacked in, where you've got a username and an email address that is yours. So they try to act like, well, and by the way, I know who you are because here was your user, your email address, and your password you used. So I must be legitimate and know that I watched you watching porn. And so this, again, is another scam out there these days, phishing scam. They're trying to trick you into giving them. This is an expensive one, too. I want to say it's like $2,000.
Yeah, they were trying to hit my wife up for a grand.
A grand.
Said she was watching porn. I've got open DNS. Guess what?
Right.
It ain't happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The whole thing is a scam. So just if you're getting these emails and they show that they've got your password from the past, hopefully you're still not using it.
Yeah,
that's a whole
password.
Other issue. If you notice that the password they have is the one you use for things, well, and then you've got another issue. But they still don't have this information. They're just trying to.
But they want you to pay with Bitcoin. That's another thing.
Correct.
Fake money.
And they're hoping they get, you know, guilty conscience. I mean, sadly enough, we've mentioned this for many years on this show. The internet was built on porn. Now it's obviously finally gone mainstream, where the internet is used for a lot more than just that. But a lot of the technologies involved with, you know, video conferencing and all the things you use the internet for started in that industry, sadly. They're hoping to prey on your guilty conscience that they caught you doing something, and they're trying to extort money from you. It is a scam. I'll put a link up here from Krebs on Security talking about it for you. He does a really great job discussing security items. You should read his blog. It'll scare you. It'll make your hair curl, some of the stuff that he talks about.
Clark Howard talked about this about a month ago, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Good. So I want to make you guys aware that it's a scam. Don't worry about it. Let's go on to your calls, and we're going to go to Burlington and Mike. Morning, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I have I had the week from hell for my computer system last week, and I'll tell you about the worst of it. The worst of it was I was doing some updates on the system, and one of the updates required an update to the BIOS.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. So that was going on, and then while the BIOS was updating, and I had a screen showing me how the BIOS was updating, I got a window that popped up that said, update complete, you need to restart your system, do you want to restart now? Mm-hmm. But apparently, my guess is that window related to some other program that was updating.
Uh-oh.
So I hit, yeah, sure, go ahead, restart.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I hit restart, and nothing after that. What happened is that the system tried to start, and after about a couple of seconds, it just gave me a little flashing yellow light and won't do anything.
Yeah, you lobotomized it.
Well, that's what I wondered. Is there any way to get the system back?
Depends. Your system BIOS has been wiped or damaged when it was rebooted. And some systems allow for a recovery of that, and some systems will not. It'll depend on your motherboard. Do you know the make and model of your motherboard?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. What is the make and model of your system?
It is it's a Dell system.
How old is it?
Dell Tower. I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
That's okay. Older than 5 years? Older than 6 years?
Yes. Yeah, it was running Windows 8.1, so I know it's about 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
When you start it up, can you get into the BIOS by hitting delete or F2 or?
No, Bob. What's been happening is when I turn it on, it just gives me that little clunk, like, okay, I'm trying to start, and it shows the little white light that the system is on, but within a few seconds it just stops, and then I just get a flashing yellow light.
Yeah.
So nothing ever appears on the screen. It never gets that far.
So what you're going to need to find, I think, to start with is there should be a jumper, a BIOS recovery jumper.
Really?
You may be able to flip that over. If the BIOS was halfway through an update when you lost, when it rebooted,
mm-hmm.
you're done. You're toast. It's
okay.
Bricked. But if it wasn't, you can reset the BIOS with a jumper. And so you would move that into recovery mode. You'd reboot it. You'd be able to get into the BIOS. Then, you know, you shut it down. You move it back into the standard position. But other than
that's only if the motherboard was smart enough to put a backup of its own BIOS, which is what this is going to do. It's going to take a backup of some kind.
What
and
it
move
does
it over.
Is it actually just resets it back to the default factory setting,
which is saved somewhere.
Well, yeah, because
be.
it's in a CMOS, which
yeah.
is it's not volatile mm-hmm. RAM, if you
right.
will.
Right. So that might work for you, Mike. It'll depend again on your model. If it can support.
So how would I actually do that again? Because again, what I'm seeing is I never even get anything on the screen.
Well,
it never gets that far. So
you gotta open the box.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah.
You gotta find the exact model that you have.
Of motherboard too.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got to get this information from the Dell website.
Okay.
To
the where
manual.
The recovery. Yeah, where that recovery jumper is.
Oh, okay.
And then
okay,
if you
I
can
do
find
that. I can do that because I went out and got another computer.
Oh.
So I could have something.
So yeah. if you've worked on computers, you might be able to find it and recognize it because all the little jumpers are labeled. But, you know, if you don't work on PCs very much, you probably wouldn't find it.
Right.
Okay.
But it should be, if it is there, that should be your solution. It could be a quick fix.
Okay. I'll take a look at that. And I wanted to mention one other thing since
yeah.
I did have the week from hell.
Yeah.
What started things off was my keyboard stopped operating.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into all of the information from Dell. Actually, I had it happen on two computers. I also have an HP laptop, and the
yeah.
keyboard stopped working there too. Same week. Same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was after an update, so I don't know whether the update did it or not. But interestingly, when I was looking for a solution on the HP website, it told me all of these different things to do, none of which worked.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went into...
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, exactly. But then I went into some of the HP forums, and
mm-hmm.
I found a solution that worked immediately. And I just thought I would mention it in case anybody else has had this problem. What
right.
it was I had to go into the computer ease of access in the system files.
All right.
And uncheck something. The ease of access under keyboard has a variety of things that can be checked.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently one of the things that gets checked will slow down the keyboard so that when you tap it, nothing happens unless you hold the keys down.
Huh.
And so when I was trying to type, nothing was happening because
right.
I apparently wasn't holding the keys down. So I unchecked all of the stuff under keyboard ease of access, and then the keyboard started operating again.
So the update might have checked them for you by default.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they know
but
better than you.
I thought I would mention it only because HP's forums or HP's own advice was telling me nothing that solved the problem, and it was only in the forums that I found the answer.
Yep, the tech guys don't work with the programmers.
Yeah.
So the programmers do their things, and yeah, they're all separated. So good, Mike. I appreciate the information.
All
it
right.
is one of those things. If it stopped working after the update, somebody did something on your behalf that you didn't ask for.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks for that. I hope you get back and up and running. Let us know how that worked out.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not a brick, but it probably is.
No,
thanks
no. Hopefully it's just a jumper, Mike.
Yeah, well, if I can find it.
All right.
Thanks very much for
you
your help.
You got it. Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's move on to David in Glastonbury. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing? I don't know if there's a resolve for this or not. I use a tablet, Google Maps,
yeah.
All day long. And it has like three icons in it. Top right corner, there's a search bar and the bottom toolbar. It burned into the screen. It's a Samsung Galaxy S3 tablet.
Oh, no. That's a nice tablet.
Yeah, but anything I could do, or pretty much we're going to have that in there.
Is that an AMO LED? Is that a traditional, or is it AMO LED?
I think it's the newer one.
Yeah, I think it is. If it's the AMO LED, they do have the propensity to burn. And it's not alone here, from what I'm seeing. It could be something that you're going to be stuck with. If especially a burn-in generally is permanent. I guess I would tell you to not leave it on all the time, but you have to because you're using it to get from point A to point B, right?
Yeah, and search things out. The older one wouldn't burn, or
yeah, LEDs are better. We had a story a couple weeks ago about a brand new LG, I think, TV that's 80 inches of monstrosity that was burning in during a huge consumer show. I mean, it burned in the image of the graphic of the consumer show right on the screen. So there is a negative to that technology that they have to correct. LED LCD type displays are much better at preventing that. So you have the latest and greatest beautiful screen, but
with dots on it.
Yeah, I know.
There's nothing like a screensaver doesn't do anything, right?
Well, if you leave the screen with the same image on it all the time, no, right? Because you're going to burn it in. But if you turn it off, that'll do it. I don't think there's a screen. There probably is a screensaver. I shouldn't say there isn't. I bet you there is a screensaver setting you could turn on, but I think the damage is already done.
All right. All right, man. So when a new one comes out, I'll call you about the problems with the new one.
Okay, David.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, all right. Bye-bye. Burning is a problem still. It really shouldn't be, but it is. Let's go on to Rick in Naugatuck. Rick, what's up?
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was thinking about taking out a small loan financing for ink for my printer.
Oh, sure.
My printer inks run.
Yeah.
So, you know, with two in college and two at home, there's four of us printing.
Yep.
Throughout. So what are your guys' thoughts about some of these off-label link refills, or do you have any other suggestions? Currently, I use an HP printer, short for highly problematic.
I would tell you to dump the inkjet printer and go to a laser jet.
Okay.
You can get very inexpensive color laser jet printers that'll drastically reduce your per page cost.
Okay.
That's what I have at home for my folks that are same type of scenario that you just discussed as far as kids from college or what have you.
Disgust. Yeah, there's disgust.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Last, before I know you guys are going to be going to a break shortly.
Yeah.
Last part of it with that laser question.
Yeah.
Is that do they have, and I haven't done any research on it, do they have any functionality of scanning and so forth as well, the scanners built in.
Okay, yeah, you can buy those all in one type devices. You can. Yep.
Okay.
That's probably $400 or $500 you'll find one. Make sure it's laser. Stay away from the inkjet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks very much.
All right, Rick.
All the best.
All right, thank you.
Gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
What do you want to say
about just had a client last week that e-cycled a inkjet printer.
Yeah.
That was given to them for free.
Yeah, but it was killing them.
Because the cost of the ink was so expensive that they could just, instead of buying ink, go buy a new printer.
Exactly. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Four lines open. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
We've been here. We'll be here until 11 o'clock, and Dr. Leslie will be in next. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. He's in the green room. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G to our old-fashioned website over at computertalkwithtab.com. I say it's old-fashioned because, I mean, websites have been around since Al Gore invented it, so that's a long time. Also at thenameoftheshow.com. And, of course, if you follow us on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems our news worthy and doesn't take down our Facebook page, it might get into your news feed maybe. So like us on Facebook over there at Tab Computer Systems. We'll also update you during the week of any kind of computer-worthy information that may come down during the week. And, of course, if you follow us on Twitter over at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your news feed that way as well. So feel free to get online while we wait for your calls. We'll get a little bit more news in. Did you have anything, Bob, you wanted to bring up in the news? If not, I might have some.
Smart car windows.
Oh, yeah. You got to talk about this.
Okay. This is a... I've seen that article that links to roadshows, just so you know.
Yeah.
But it says, smart car windows will bring AR to the road, which is artificial reality.
Mm-hmm.
Car windows, by definition, are pretty much unseen. They keep bugs out of our teeth and UV off our skin.
Well, and my kids don't even see the windows because they're looking at their screens all the way down to wherever we're going. But go ahead.
But otherwise, they're pretty much inert. That may soon change as the augmented reality era starts to invade them.
All right.
Ford has developed something called the field of view that uses haptic feedback transmitted via the window to create a tactile representation of what's outside.
Okay.
Of it. A camera captures the exterior scene and converts it to 255 levels of gray that are each assigned a level of feedback imparted to the glass via an attached haptic motor.
What could go wrong? Yikes.
It gives the visually impaired person some impression of what's outside.
Oh, that's neat.
GM has a prototype Windows that can either work like an Etch-a-Sketch, display a motion-related avatar for the kids, or offer an AR information overlay of what's outside.
Gosh, if it's touchscreen, imagine how messed up your windows are going to get. They're going to get slimed up by the kids.
Just as with phone-based AR, these Ford and GM efforts seek to put augmentation onto surfaces you already use rather than make you wear something cumbersome like those.
Like headsets, yeah. Headsets. So they're going to actually... So imagine driving down the road, and you know you can look out the window, and if you drive past an actual establishment of some kind, it could tell you if they've got hamburgers on sale or something like that. Or
Toyota has an approach that is an AR photography hybrid, including the ability to zoom in on something outside using the window.
That's crazy.
Not unlike the way you use the electronic viewfinder in a DSLR to check critical focus.
Wow. So billboards are going to be gone because literally the advertisement will come right to your car screen as you drive past the area.
Well, they could put scenery going by, and you can get into one of those driverless cars, and you might think that you're going down to the mall when it's taking you somewhere else.
That is interesting, though. Imagine having a display like that if it worked.
So the Mercedes F015 concept car points to a new vision of what constitutes a car window. In some models, the lower door panels become virtual windows by displaying an image of the outside from an exterior camera.
Wow.
That mode can be overlaid with AR graphics or the panel and can be switched back to an opaque display for media communications or navigation.
Wow. Can you actually, I would love to see the rear window allow us to display to the guy behind you to get off your butt because he's riding your butt,
Well, I would go more for the James Bond approach.
Oh, there's that. Oh, just imagine it.
Machine gun tailpipes.
Yeah. Wouldn't need bumper stickers anymore. Interesting. So, that's the future, I guess. But again, just imagine how expensive and all the maintenance. I mean, the high-tech jobs are going to be there, guys, because you're going to have to be able to be a computer technician to work on a car door. How expensive are those car doors going to be?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's why they're on Mercedes. or Teslas.
Yeah, we all know we all have more money than we know what to do with.
So. I guess so. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting perspective of the future.
They could put up a view of like you're traveling somewhere and you could be just sitting in your garage.
Right. All right, we got a call from Shay in North Windham before the end of the show here. So we can do for Shay. Hey, Shay, what can we do for you?
Hi.
Hi.
I updated my Apple products to the 11.4.1.
All right.
And now I cannot update my photos to my computer.
You can't bring them down?
No, I can't. Well, I can't get it from my phone to my computer or my iPad to the computer. I've got some of them. It went back. I just did it. It went back a few years, but it didn't do anything in this last three weeks since I did the update.
I'm not an Apple user, but I can see what we can find for you and see if we're having trouble with people connecting their Apple devices that way. Three irritating bugs. This is 11.4.1, you said?
Yeah.
It also, images do not sync. Yeah, with right. iCloud. Yep. All right. So this is an issue.
Oh, it is an issue.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. You're one of the lucky folks that updated and have a similar issue. Have you stopped by the mall and talked to the geniuses?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Should I?
I don't know. It depends on how much time you have and if you want to go to the mall or not. Or it depends on how fast how important this is to you, because most likely, Shay, they will send an update that'll correct it. Did you find anything, Bob?
No.
Well, there is an issue, though, from what I'm seeing. I'm trying to find a fix within the next 30 seconds. It's going to be tough. But it is an issue. You're not alone. It's one of the bugs, I guess, with the update.
That's great.
So let us do some work on it for you, Shay. If we can find a fix to this for you, we'll post it on computertalkwithtab.com, and that way you'll find it for you.
All right, good. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, we're all out of time. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this rainy Saturday morning. And again, everything we talked about is posted, tweeted, and Facebook. Thank you, Mr. Mike, for producing. Dr. Leslie's in next. Thanks, Mike G., for posting everything live.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.